Aerospace is about as international an industry as you can find. Yet the United States is a large exporter of aerospace products, and industry produces a multi-billion-dollar trade surplus every year. No wonder aerospace executives are happy about the Export-Import Bank is not only reauthorized, but has the backing of the Trump administration. Joining me with more, David Melcher, President and CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association. Mr. Melcher, good to have you on.
Well, thank you, Tom. Glad to be on.
And I guess the knock on the EXIM is that, well, it benefits Boeing, and Boeing doesn't need any help from the federal government. But I guess what Mr. Trump said just the other day is, well, not necessarily so. Well, that's not the whole story. Well,
no, it's not the whole story. Obviously, big companies who export large end items that consist of, thousands and thousands of parts are supported by a supply chain. And that really is the story for a company like Boeing. Some 56% of the aerospace and defense industry's $90 billion trade surplus last year could be attributable to the supply chain. These are the kind of companies, small, medium, and large, that benefit from the EXIM Bank.
Yeah, tell us more about that industry, the supply chain for aircraft, because it's international, correct? But how much of it is still in the United States when you see an airplane and the millions of parts inside there?
Well, it is an international, it's a global supply chain, although I would say, for companies like Boeing that have both a commercial segment and a defense segment, pretty much all of the defense manufacturing is done inside the United States. And for the commercial items, it tends to be a more global supply chain, but it consists of literally tens of thousands of companies that are part of that supply chain, making up what might be, a 787 aircraft final product.
So in other words, the EXIM Bank might finance a foreign sale, which goes to Boeing, but that plane that they deliver then is the mechanism for all of the parts and components and supply chain value inside.
Exactly. You've got that right.
And what do you think that's worth every year to the United States industry?
Well, Our net exports were on the order of, over $200 billion. We were a positive trade surplus of $90 billion. And so when you think about, anywhere from 60 to 70% of that dollar value going to the supply chain, we're talking, well over $100 billion that goes right to the supply chain. And these are companies throughout the country. And again, some international suppliers for commercial products. So it's huge. And that is the thing that never got talked about when people were using the bumper stickers that it's just about the big companies, because it's not.
And when you look at, again, the major export product, which, say, an airliner, and they cost, anywhere from, 40 to a couple of $100 million a piece. And if you go to the first tier of suppliers, you're still with big companies like General Electric for the engine, say, and Lear company makes this and that. But tell us about the next tier of suppliers and how that operates and what that looks like.
We generally track, four tiers of suppliers based on, dollar value of the company. I would say that, even when you talk about a tier two, like a General Electric that might make the engines for the aircraft, they too have their own supply chain, which is probably 70% going to tier three and four companies. Now, all have to be qualified, all have to meet the standards, that both a GE or a Boeing might have. But we are talking tens of thousands of companies that support the manufacture of a single aircraft, from people who make rivets to wiring connections and things like that, all of which go in the plane.
We're speaking with David Melcher, the president and CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association, and we haven't said the word outright, but it sounds like there's a lot of small business that is fed along by this whole chain reaction.
Absolutely. Let me just give you two quick examples. There are two companies that we're familiar with, one called Air Tractor and one called Thrush Aircraft. They're smaller companies that make small aircraft for crop dusting and firefighting. Each one of these companies has received more than $100 million in support from the EXIM Bank since 2007, either through insurance policies, loan guarantees, or a direct loan to the customers who buy their aircraft. And, since the quorum for the bank has not been, fulfilled, those numbers have steadily declined since their peak in 2013. And so, I think that's the real issue these days, is let's get a board of directors up and operative for the bank so they can approve deals over $10 million again.
Yeah, so we're not just talking about a plane maker like Boeing. You're talking about a smaller company that makes a whole airplane?
Absolutely.
Is it like a biplane? Or you said it sounds like something for crop dusting. I guess it's really not a biplane, though, is it?
You know, I think there are probably still some manufacturers who make that just for special purposes, but I think most of the crop dusters these days are single wing.
And just looking at the bigger picture here, we see where China is attempting to get into the airliner business. And of course, they and Russia have foreign military aircraft sales, so it's becoming more competitive. What is the AIA position on how that's happening and how this all fits together?
Well, you know, there are close to 70 other countries that offer export financing similar to what our Export-Import Bank does. And, you know, we look at it from a level playing field perspective. You know, if our bank is hobbled because it's not able to fully function, yet all these other countries have those kind of mechanisms at their disposal, they will be more competitive in the marketplace. I think many, many customers want U.S. goods. But they need the support or the assurances that the bank can provide to them. And then there's an added bonus that the bank actually returns money to the U.S. Treasury every year. How many government institutions can say that? But it's true of the Export-Import Bank. So it's about leveling the playing field, you know, using an institution that was designed explicitly for this purpose and allowing U.S. Manufacturers to be competitive.
Now, there are other forms of finance mechanisms for companies, I guess, airlines and state airlines that are purchasing airliners, and some of them are bought and leased back, and there are other just plain banks that do this. What do you think is the total participation as a percentage in the aircraft financing worldwide that is represented by EXIM?
You know, that's a great question. I'm not sure that I can cite you a specific percentage. You know, I think it would probably be relatively small. I think, you know, major financing arms, major banks probably do a lot more financing than EXIM Bank. But for companies that are in aerospace and defense in the U.S., and for example, companies that manufacture satellite payloads, let's put aircraft aside for a second, they are very dependent upon customers being able to finance those payloads. And in a lot of cases, they cannot get the conventional financing that might be offered by a major bank. And so therefore, the loan guarantee from EXIM becomes critical. In fact, if you look at the sales of satellite payloads, which were close to $1 billion in 2015, and then you look at the figure in 2016, that went to $4 million, one with a B versus $4 million. That is quite a decrement in you know, the ability of U.S. companies to sell, simply because the bank wasn't fully operative.
Perhaps the greater risk to payloads in the space end of aerospace is why EXIM becomes maybe the lender of last resort or the primary one?
Yes, that's true. We're very pleased that the president has nominated two new directors that have to be confirmed by the Senate. That will allow the bank to have a quorum and, you know, be fully functional and be able to do deals over $10 million. It's time to get this legislation, well, not this legislation, this approval done to get the directors in place and to allow the bank to, you know, fulfill its mission. And who will benefit is American taxpayers, who are going to have more jobs, and who's going to, you know, we're going to have more taxes coming into the Treasury. And the bank, you know, returns on top of that. So, you know, really it's a win-win-win if we can just get all these pieces in place.
David Melcher is president and CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks so much, Tom. I appreciate the time.
We'll have a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.